This is the first one. Lisa, let me know when we're ready. All right, I will call us to order as we do planning and development. And Leanne, you're an old pro at this, so I'll just let you take us through. And welcome to everybody who's here. Nancy, good to see you. Absolutely. So we're on page 134, and we'll just start there and go through.
Essentially, the revenues are the same. We anticipate just a slight increase in building permit, zoning permit revenue, and that's just related to the increase in fees and valuations that you guys approved last fiscal year or last calendar year. But really, the overall picture is that the revenues will stay consistent for large part. And, of course, we continue to look out for grant funding, but it continues to be more and more limited.
Any questions on the revenue side of things?
No. Nope.
Expense side.
I guess I'll just put out there for any questions. I can walk through line by line if you'd like me to, or...
Yeah, let's just walk through. I mean, obviously, we don't need to worry about the staff stuff a whole lot. That's something we've got to...
Well, my only question on that was whether or not the planner salaries are included in that.
They're included. Okay. I gave those... The two planners were under, and so those amounts were given.
Thank you.
That should be reflected in what we see in front of us.
Right.
Yeah, and the reason it goes down this year, Leanne...
Is a half, yeah. Yep.
Right. Right. I guess first one question I had on 136, just kind of walk me through office supply increase a little bit, just in lieu of everything else that you've been doing in terms of your scanning and all these other types of things. So that was my first area. I didn't have any others on the others.
And that's a good question. On page 138 in the narrative, I kind of broke that out a little bit. The increase is primarily due to expenses related to the government restructuring report, and that is to create an energy efficiency unified marketing campaign. I put in $2,400 for that, just following the direction of the board to build in expenses related to the CPAT report and GRC into my budget. And that's what the primary increase is, $2,400. Otherwise, we'd be back down to where we have been budgeting right now.
Are you able to comment a little bit? What are you seeing? I mean, what's your expected outcome, particularly in this particular area? When you talk about energy efficiency,
the GRC report would just like a just spells out essentially a marketing campaign that is probably promotional materials, whatever that may be, and yet to be determined. And it's really an initiative that the board needs to direct staff to undertake. But that $2,400 would, I'm assuming the promotional materials will be developed in-house if you were to direct us to do it, but we would have to pay for printing and publication costs and then release those materials. So that for office supplies, there is $1,200 put in there for CRS outreach campaign materials. CRS, again, is Community Rating System, getting away from the acronyms as best as I can. And that really is something that Story County needs to pursue over the rest of this calendar year and on into next fiscal year.
In a nutshell, what is that?
Community Rating System is one of the components of the National Flood Insurance Program. We already do the floodplain management. It is the component that jurisdictions that follow sound floodplain management practices may be a CRS community, Community Rating System community, and as a result, those individuals within the county that do participate in the program and have flood insurance can have reduced rates. So its ability to really reward our citizens in Story County for good practices that we're following. So but it will require us to do some outreach.
That's what, along with outreach, will it require gathering information data in terms of what people have,
Well, all that is, there's an extensive application process that we will need to go through.
Okay.
And I'll be bringing that to the board, hopefully later this spring, the actual application. I've been waiting for them to revise the guidelines that they put out there, and they released those last December. And now I'm going to be going through some training sessions.
I would suggest that the 2,400, we're going to have, as we get further into this, we're going to have a long conversation about all the things that were recommended by the Government Restructure Committee and CPAT. So I'd suggest we just star that for right now and hold it for that full conversation that I think we're going to get to here in just a couple minutes. Was there anything else? How does everybody feel about the 1,200 for CRS?
Mixed emotions, but the other side of the equation is we made a good faith effort to move down this path to get the input, and I think we've got to start determining to what degree we're going to begin to implement these things, and I do think we've got to have a plan in order to do it, and I just can't see us moving forward without, you know, having that, and I know we may not be able to accomplish all of our goals in one bite, but we've got to start somewhere. So I see it as maybe a necessary component to begin to give us the knowledge base that we need to really delve into some of the other issues that came up in the report. That's my initial response. I'd hate to see us have to back away from that because I think that's part of the strategic planning that will need to be taking place, in my opinion.
Anything to add?
No. On a couple other line items for the reestablished budget, I do have some additional figures.
Yep.
For the additional help, extra help, I'd like to lower that to $8,000 for this reestablished budget, take that down from $9,000. Now that Tim is done with us, we really won't be bringing an intern in. That will be a paid position the remainder of this fiscal year. And then uniforms and equipment drop down by 100. I think we do have to buy some new tape measures, but I don't think we'll use the entire $400.
So that'll go to 300 for this year, just like what you're requesting for next year.
I'm going to go on a limb and say we could reestimate communication services down too, because it appears to me as though whatever has been done with the phone lines has help someone in communication.
And I think I agree with you. I'd like to do away with our extension 7251. That's right now the inspections hotline. That used to be the code enforcement position's phone number, and we still have that phone, and I'd like to just do away with the phone. It sits where Tim sits right now, and if we ever have an intern, that's where the individual will sit, and that person should not need a phone. So I'd actually like to just have I can work with IT to find out what Paula recommends. The number I put in for the proposed budget was did come from IT.
That's the 1,100.
1,100 for this year and next.
That does not include the 51.
I don't think
it looks you have five phone lines there.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
Okay. Check on that, and I know that Barb yesterday was talking about she's looking for phones, so that phone may come in handy for her.
Yeah, you could probably sell it on eBay.
Yeah, we can't
buy it
on eBay.
I heard that. I heard that. Yeah.
All right.
It ends in need of the report.
Now we're there, yeah. So we're on 139. If there's no questions on the, we just talked about communication services. Are there questions on the education training or equipment rent? It looks like it's just a constant. I mean, you're just doing what you do.
I think you've got the two accreditation, certified staff accreditation certification. And that's what, a 2-3 year once they have it?
Well, and
it's not an annual thing.
I'm with my CFM and AICP, I'm on their 2-year cycles each, but they overlap. And then Charlie and I think we match up on our AICP. And so that's why 1 year you'll see maybe $1,000 more, and then the next year $1,000 less. Depends on where we are in the cycle. Same with dues and memberships as well.
AICP, I'm assuming it's something certified.
American Institute of Certified Planners.
Hey, I had that right.
I should get a point for that.
I was.
CFM is Certified Floodplain Manager.
All right. Contractual labor. Now we get to run back through the GRC and the CPAT reports. And so let's start with needs assessment. And Leanne, the way I'm going to want to go through this is let's talk about exactly what was recommended, what kind of impact we hope it's going to have, and if it fits in a structure where we have to do one thing before another, because we got several things in here that we can't get to until we do some of the ones before it.
And just for some background information as well, I reached out to colleagues throughout Iowa with Council of Governments, other public entities, and then private consulting to get kind of a range of consulting fees that are charged out there for the planning profession. I had everywhere from $80 over up to $250. And really the range I received most response was at $80 to $120, so I took the middle of the road and put everything's based at $100 per hour and then hourly from there. The needs assessment with the one-stop permitting licensing GRC report, this would essentially be 50 hours a month, however you want to look at that. And this does come out again, the Government Restructuring Committee report. This, if you'll recall, was part of the discussion as when people come to Story County, they have to go to one department to get this, one department to get that, specifically in regards to licenses and permits. Our office is an example where they can kind of do two at one point when they come in for wells and septic and zoning permits. It's a one-stop shop. But using our office again, though, if they need a driveway permit, they then need to go over to the county engineer's office. And the GRC recognized that this would be an opportunity to maybe enhance our levels of customer service that we're providing. The way it's worded there, too, is we really need to get a handle on what's out there, though, and how, and according to Iowa code, how services could be or these licenses could possibly be streamlined, who's providing what, where's the most efficient way to deliver that services, or what is the most efficient way to deliver that service.
So you've identified at least a couple things already. Do we have a somewhat of an idea of the various types of licenses now that are spread out over several departments that could be consolidated as we move forward?
That's what this needs assessment would be.
That's what it's going to do.
And
so
internally,
right now,
yeah.
Internally,
our department's taking a shot at just putting a list of services together, permits and stuff, just a one-page summary. I shared it with you all, that's right. That's a starting point, but haven't delved into can the treasurer's office collect all the fees and take in all the permits, all the licenses for everything that's allowed? Those are the types of questions I don't know the answer to. And that falls back to you whether or not that is a recommendation that you do want to accept from the GRC report and have staff dedicate time and then county resources towards achieving.
I think part of it will be limited by statute as to what we can combine and how we can do it. And I know that I've had conversation with different departments. And you're right. Your department it works out pretty well that somebody can go down there and hit both of those at the same time. But in order to have a one stop shop, we're going to have the discussion about where's that shop going to be and who's going to man it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that I think that's the biggest question. I know that Darla spends roughly half of her day at the front desk. Right. But that would mean somebody would have to be down there full time, and the concern I have is that one person going to have enough information to actually issue that permit? I mean,
intake the permit.
I mean, there's somebody wants a driveway permit, they're going to have some pretty specific questions, and as you guys all know, we've had a lot of conversations about driveway permits, and that's my concern. Right.
That employee taking lunch breaks.
Right. Leanne, have you had a chance to see, I think, Linn County, Johnson County, the two comes to mind. I think when I was over there last fall, I thought they had started a program a few years ago, something like that, but mm-hmm. I'm not
I can follow up with.
Sure, but maybe follow up with that and see how successful it's been, because I think that was one of the goals that they had at one time, too, and I believe they have it in operation now. Particularly in Linn County. Okay.
But Leanne, help me with this now. What I'm seeing that you're requesting here is not necessarily creating the one-stop permitting, but to do the needs assessment and take a look at what it would take. The $5,000 doesn't cover the cost of doing the one-stop permitting. It's a SWAC number, but it covers what it takes to go get the information. So the question before us right now is that something we're interested enough in to allocate dollars to go figure out whether we can do it and what it would cost us to do?
I would be interested to see if it's something that we can do. I would like to think we could do it for a lot less than $5,000.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It starts with what are we allowed to do by code.
Right.
Then as I see it, the second step, if we're allowed, whatever we're allowed to do by code, we take a look and see what others are doing. You mentioned Linn County. Well, clearly those two things aren't going to cost us $5,000, and we may find out as we go that we're limited in what's reasonable to do.
I would just think anything out of any elected office that we're going to have a real difficult time combining those services.
It comes down to the elected official sitting in that office whether they're willing to allow it.
I think that's an assumption, and it's probably a good assumption to have, but I think when you bring people together in a collaborative effort to look at the kind of services being offered and make customer service the primary goal that you're doing, I would think you may find that you'll get better cooperation as long as they can kind of see how this is all going to come into play. Because in a couple incidences I'm thinking of, I know that they've talked about that this is what has happened, but it will require collaboration on the part of the elected officers.
And I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about code. I don't know that the elected officers would be able to
relinquish
some. Yeah, there are certain things they
other
could.
Office.
Yeah, that could be true. But there are ways around that, I believe. But you're right. Good point.
Yeah, so the question is,
I think the answer right now to me is I think there is it appears to be enough sentiment that this ought to be the first starting point. And then part of my question would be is, then what type of, let's say we find out that this is doable, then is there potentially a timetable down the road that we have to think about? Are there going to be dollars set aside, whether we're talking by the spring of next year or are we talking about FY 2014-15 calendar year, you know, for the actual implementation? I mean, I know you got to have the knowledge, the information.
Well, I'm feeling a little like I'm skipping to the end of the book without reading the whole thing. But let me just tell you guys what I've been thinking, and Leanne, I'd be interested to get your thoughts. Clearly, we have a list of things here that you've plugged in as $400,000 to do all these things. There is a chronological order that we have to take them in, and some of them are not going to cost what we expect, and some of them are going to cost more, and some of them we're not going to do. And so, again, I still think it's important that we go through every one of these and touch on it, but where I am right now is, ultimately, as I see it, we as a board are going to be able to set aside X number of dollars this year to do some of these things, and we need to prioritize both from a chronological point of view and what's important to us point of view, where we're going to start with that. And then what we know is that for FY14, we've got X number of dollars in the budget to get as far as we can get on figuring out where these things are, and then we come back in next year's budget and hopefully start to actually implement some of these things. And while the pace of government I would have never believed before coming into it, and it drives me crazy sometimes, it's the reality. I mean, we move at a glacial pace, and there's a reason for that. And this is part of it to me. So again, I'm not trying to exclude talking about every one of these things, but I'm with you guys. I think this is clearly, if not step one, it's one of the first steps that we need to take. And so it needs to be something that we're looking at plugging some dollars in for. All right. So with that, Leanne, if you have anything you want to say to that.
Well, and it's not directly. My question throughout all this was, is planning development the appropriate budget to plug the numbers to? And I put them in solely so that the discussion could be had, too. Because some of these, I don't think, should probably lie under planning development from a budgetary standpoint. And then if you decide to have our staff project manager or whatever that may be, then that may be appropriate. But that's just a question I put out there, whether or not we indeed are the appropriate budget to house these expenditures.
Yeah, and
let me ask this question, and Lisa, you can perhaps answer this best. Because many of these services are tied to the rural service fund and possible loss funds, local option sales tax possibilities, especially when we talk about economic development initiatives and things of that nature, we still need to have a department, whether it be yours or some other ones, that is either the coordinator of or the, you know, the department that really launches the initiative so that we can have some degree of accountability and oversight as we move forward. And so part of the budgeting process would be is within your department, can funds be designated under a certain category for, say, if it has something to, if the CRP CPAT report is related to economic development types of situations, because if it's not in your department, what department is it going to come from? I guess that's kind of so. I think you raise a very good point, but I guess it's all of this started with your department because number one, you are a planner.
Because we told you it was going.
And you think about it from a planning. You think about it from a planning perspective.
I think maybe that's where I'm at. I mean,
yeah.
It's not. I mean, so many of the departments in this county are strictly, they deal with numbers, or you know, the auditor, the treasurer, the assessor. Those are all numbers guys, and I mean, you guys are planners, big picture,
we're big picture,
conceptual.
Yeah. And I just raise it. Falling under the rural services, I'm always very cognizant of what may or may not be limitations, and
right.
I just want to bring that up to ensure that we are all comfortable with it, too, as it goes forward.
Yeah, and I looked through the list myself and said, I'm stretching it there on the rural services. So I think that each individual situation needs to be looked at, and if it's not coming out of this specific budget, it comes out of countywide services
right.
in the general fund,
right.
or it comes out of
right.
Local option sales tax dollars, if there's any left, which in this budget we're looking at there aren't, but that's another discussion you have. I think that the reasoning, wherever it's funded, doesn't change the fact that we need somebody to be
right.
Before the gathering of the assessments of the situation. So I don't think that gets Leanne off the hook on that. I just think that it changes the funding stream. And
I'm sure she wasn't looking to get off the hook.
I was, and I didn't mean to imply that either.
Exactly.
I think for you to be able to respond, yeah.
I understand what you're saying. It's coming out of my budget. My God, you know, la, la, la. What I'm saying is, the discussion has to be had. We can talk about the funding, the other funding sources.
Exactly. Right.
What I'm thinking.
Good.
I would agree with that to a point. I mean, there is some of this is overlap in that. Okay, we're dealing with planning and development budget right now, but then in our budget, we're going to discuss the possibility of some increased economic development dollars with the idea of going out and doing a RFP to have services provided, doing a lot of the economic development stuff, which a lot of this planning and inventory would then fall under that position if, in fact, that was created, if we contracted out with somebody to provide those services to our smaller communities and do these kind of planning things. Now, there are some things that do not rest under that economic development that are listed here, which I do think rests more clearly with planning and development. And so we just need to get through those. And what I'm trying to come to is we need to discuss all of this. I'm just trying to come up with a way that we can do it in an organized, orderly fashion, and I'm not there yet. And so I don't have anything other than to say, okay, we've got, right now we're talking about the needs assessment. Let's finish talking about that, where we're headed, and then let's move on to the next item, and hopefully they'll start to fall into categories where we, as we get through this budget process, we know what we're talking about. So needs assessment for me, it sounds to me like as a swag number right now we need to plug something in, but it doesn't seem to me that it's 5,000 right now. And so I would suggest that just in pencil, just as we start to go through this stuff, in planning and development, we cut that in half and say $2,500 to do an assessment of where we can go with one-stop permitting. And I don't know how you guys feel about that as a starting point.
Between 25 and the anticipation of 3,000, I think a reduction, I could live with that. I guess I'd come back to Leanne. Do you think that's doable, or do you think 3,000 is more realistic? I mean, I know this is an unknown.
Yeah, I think Rick described it very well. It's swag. I don't know. If 50 hours, if we could do it entirely in-house, be driven by our staff, assuming, or if we would, obviously we'd reach out to ISAC if they can guide us along the route and do it without
I think what we're going to see is initially it's going to be in-house, and we're going to start the process, and it's going to be you and Jessica working through, okay, what can we do? And then knowing what we can do, looking at who else is doing things like that, and starting to pull it together. And we may run into a brick wall, or we may find out that it opens up for us and we need to allocate more, which ultimately is where I think we're gonna get in this, is instead of having $400,000 sitting there, we're going to have a figure that's going to be much, much less than that. We're going to prioritize where those dollars go until we hit a stopping point. And when we run out for the year, we run out for the year.
Right.
And we figure out where we're going.
Right.
So I'm suggesting that, again, we're going to get to the end of this, and we're going to go back and probably redo. But I'm suggesting just penciling in $2,500 as a, yes, it's something we want to do. This year we can handle about $2,500 put toward that needs assessment. And if that works for you guys, we'll move on to item number two, which is a community vision plan.
Oh, kind of walk us through that again, will you?
The CPAT report recommended that there be an effort undertaken to set forth a countywide vision of where Story County is headed over the next 20 years. And that would then set the framework for a comprehensive plan, or it's called a coordinated long-range plan. And that would have an economic development component, various components. We've talked about this several times. It probably could be done a lot less if it's totally staff-driven, but that does reduce the opportunity for staff to be involved in the discussion, too, and be recognized as a participant rather than just a facilitator. And that's why, at least for the vision part, I did plug in funding to drive that. And as you said, Rick, it builds everything else from here on out, builds on that vision.
My only problem with this, and we need to talk it through, is it is having gone through the urban fringe or part of getting the urban fringe, a community-wide, county-wide vision requires buy-in from others. Specifically, I mean, all our communities, but the fact is we at the county are going to be carrying the water for our smaller communities if something like this were undertaken. We would not be carrying the water for Ames, probably Nevada, maybe Story City, maybe Huxley. But definitely Ames and Nevada would have to be highly interested and motivated and participatory in doing something like this. And we don't know that they are. And so I look at that 15,000, I say, that's 15. We could throw that 15,000 out there and say, yes, we want to do it. And if Ames and Nevada don't come to the table and they don't buy in, we're going to be beating our heads again. I mean, it's money out the window.
And similar situation was the Lincoln Highway Corridor study.
Yeah.
What's interesting now, a lot of the planning endeavors you see underway to a great degree reflect the proposed land uses in that the county spent money for, but two communities at some level opposed the adoption of that plan. And the money was expended by Story County for that.
Right.
And that's what I don't want us to get into again. And so what I'm suggesting is that at this point, our conversation needs to, and I believe this rests with the three of us, our conversation needs to be with Nevada and Ames. As Nevada and Ames start to butt up against each other right there at 590th with everything that's going on out there, the fact of the matter is now is the perfect time to have this community vision conversation. But they got to be willing participants. We don't have the authority to force anybody to the table. And if they're not willing to come to the table, we don't need anything there. So we need to be out having the conversation with them where they're willing to go. And having dealt with both, but specifically Ames, just the way things move at Ames. They're in the middle of this flood, you know, water thing. I don't believe that we're going to get them to buy into anything like this short term. It's going to have to be an ongoing conversation that we're going to have to convince them that, yeah, this is something we need to do. And so I look at this as a longer range item, and I think it's listed that way on the to-do list that we have as a longer range item, that our goal for FY14 ought to be to make sure we're having these conversations continually, that each one of us are getting in front of our communities in our liaison role, talking about the importance of this, talking about that the county's ready to be a participant in this, and trying to get them to step forward as well. And I would suggest that we plug in a small number, $1,000, to simply go through and create what creating a plan would entail. We've got $15,000 of swag put in there. We don't know what it would be. We don't know what the breakdown should be between Ames, Nevada, and Story County, if those are, in fact, the three major players. But I think it's reasonable for us to put a little dollars into being able to market the idea of the plan to Ames and Nevada. And that's where I'm suggesting, again, plugging in about 1,000. Now, I'll tell you that would fall way below the needs assessment for me in terms of priorities. I would want us to go as far as we can go on the needs assessment next year before we spend any money at all in that.
Right.
I think
the $1,000 is probably a good figure, and I would suggest that Nevada is probably in a similar boat that Ames is in. I mean, Nevada's got a lot on his plate. And, you know, I think at times I think they've got all they can do keeping up with what they're trying to get.
I believe it's a year-long conversation with either of them just to get to the yes or no. But what's important is that we start having the conversation, and we don't have it just as an, oh, by the way. We have it where we present them. Here's what we're talking about doing. Here's what it would create for us. Here's the timeline. Here's what it's going to cost. And I think we need to spend a little money to put that document together. And Leanne, it would rest with you in-house, as I see it, to create that document, and I just want to plug in some dollars for it to get created over the next year.
Well, I don't have a real good feel for the quantitative aspect of what this will take, but I'm looking at the fact that if 15 was initially put out there as a starting point, why not go with the 2,500 instead of the 1,000, knowing full well that if it's not used, it's available there. It hasn't been gone, but it gives us a little bit more flexibility as we start to move through this. $1,000 can be absorbed pretty quickly. But I'm of the opinion, and I agree with the three communities that we've talked about, but based upon the CPAT report, there was support from these communities as we move forward with this strategic planning. I think what they're waiting for is someone to take the initiative and kind of get the ball rolling.
That's what we're talking about, Wayne. How many dollars do we need to get the ball rolling? Because all we're talking about trying to do is get that initial push on the ball, and then they either join in or they don't, and it dies.
Yeah, but you can always – it's tough after the budget is set to increase it. But you can always – if it's there and you don't use it all – and I'm just wondering if the 1,000 or the 2,500 or the 2,000. I mean, you've thrown out 1,000. You've given a good rationale for it. I certainly think it's doable.
What are your thoughts?
But I want to ask Leanne's her thoughts.
Falling under contractual labor, if we had $1,000, I probably wouldn't get anyone really to come in to do a contract. It would all be entirely staff driven. The $15,000 was to have someone to facilitate the entire session, whatever sessions, you know, set the time from the beginning to the end, final report, whatever it may be. There may be some opportunities for $1,000 to have Iowa State Extension assist us, though. I don't have a good response.
Okay, if the idea here is to just create a more precise document of what we're talking about here, where we can market this to all our communities, mm-hmm. but specifically those two, what needs to happen to create something like that?
First of all, we need to look at what other counties in Iowa are doing. I know some in eastern Iowa are doing a countywide comprehensive plan and see the steps that they did to establish that. Look at they did RFPs, whatever they did, and maybe learn from some of their mistakes. Then we need maybe a little bit more broad and see what's already in place rather than repeating. Is this something you think the RC&D, are these the types of projects that they would be?
They would certainly be interested in listening to it.
I think there are opportunities for whatever figure amount there's in there to find entities that could provide us assistance. But if you put a certain level, I'm going to be asking the question, is it even worth my time to have to solicit someone to come help us?
Let's do this. For the purpose of this conversation, scratch out contractual labor there at the top, because what we're really talking about through this is cost to start the
project
implementation,
cost.
The project cost of doing it. And some of those will be contract that were coming out. Some of them will not. Some of them will be in-house, and it will just be cost to try to get this rolling. And then we'll have to go back and plug it in wherever we plug it in. But that also allows us to pull the $2,400 down that we talked about for the materials up above, and kind of lump all this in together, knowing that it might figure out somewhere else.
And really what we're doing is we're establishing a pot of money.
Establishing a pot of money, and then as I see it, we go back and we prioritize
right
what we're doing first.
And like we said, once the money's gone for that year, it's gone. So if we put $1,000 in here for this particular item and you know we spend a little bit more than that, I think that simply means that something else is probably going to get a little bit less. So I mean, I think overall what we're trying to do is establish the amount of money that we need in there. So
yeah, I mean, this is different than anything we've ever done, Leigh.
It definitely is. It's really exciting.
I mean, it is exciting. It's just nerve wracking because it is outside the comfort level of the way the county's operated for so long.
Right, and the thing that I think we need to be kind of a little wary of is that, you know, how many times have you heard people say, oh, you know, good God, they're spending money on something else, another study, or they're going to look at something else, and that's what it's for. And a huge example of that is the Lincoln Highway Corridor study. I don't know what the figure was that the county spent on that, but
$42,000, I think.
You know what? That I heard that more than anything is, you know, what a waste of money that was. And you know, at the time, it certainly didn't think like it, but you know, it sat for so long before it was ever adopted, and. I mean, and there you are. So I think that's the thing that I think about is that, you know, people look at this and they say, well, you know, they're paying for another study or they're paying for somebody else to come in and give them what their opinion is. So.
Did we agree then? Is $1,000 where we're going to go? I guess I can live with it. I just wanted to throw out that I'd be comfortable.
I'd suggest for now in pencil you plug in $1,000. So we got $2,500 and $1,000 plugged into this project cost. And before we go further to the next one, let's go back and talk about that $2,400, which was in office supplies and its energy efficiency marketing campaign. Okay, that's a project. I know it's swag.
It could be anything from, as I said, promotional materials. If you recall the waste tire magnets that health department had and sand they had for years, magnets that as you go to different things, you can promote energy efficiency practices or kiosks for people, more of an interactive. $2,400 was a number to me that allowed for publication materials.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a huge fan of energy efficiency. It's important. It's vital. But we've got so many things on our plate right now that we've got to spend money on. Spending $2,400 on magnets or whatever it ends up being is so low on my priority list right now. I mean, I want that $2,400. We need to spend it, but we need to spend it on other things, is the way I see it.
And it could.
There's a lot of that out there already. I mean, everything. Every time you get your utility bill, there's something in there about it. You know, I belong to an REC. I get a monthly magazine from them, and there's always something in there about, you know, do this, do that. You know, now you can't even buy 70 watt bulbs, 75 watt bulbs. I can't see anything in my garage.
I think that recalling the GRC discussions, they just want the community or the county to promote itself, to really celebrate the success with energy efficiency practices and let people know in Story County, whether it be private citizens or other governmental entities, that you can do this, and you may think it's going to cost more in the long run, in the short term, but in the long run, aside from the non-tangible benefits, the monetary benefits prove that this is worthwhile. It was something they wanted, something out there for Story County to celebrate. And
we just piggyback on Ames in that little promotion that they do in the energy efficiency thing and what they call the housing, where you could come in and they'll do a kind of an energy assessment and so forth.
I think and, all your,
and then make and then kind of encourage other communities to pick up and do something similar to that. Now, the question would be, is who would they get to do that if some of the other communities would do it? But that's what comes to mind when I hear about celebrating that type of thing. And so when I get my little bill and then I think about every time my wife comes in, all of a sudden the light bulbs have changed and I see a more expensive light bulb, then I go back and think about, well, in the long run, this is going to be a good thing. You know, I mean, but that's kind of where I think.
For this year, I'm going to suggest that we scratch $2,400 out of that. I think it's a topic that we need to remember. We're going to talk later on about having a newsletter, a countywide newsletter as part of the Board of Supervisors conversation. That could be an area where we could do some minimal promotion. But as far as spending dollars for promotion this year with what we're talking about, I think we shouldn't. So I'm suggesting we go back. Wayne, we're back on 138
yep,
right
it.
Now.
I'm
suggesting we just scratch through that 2,400. You guys okay with that?
I can live with it.
All right, back to the big one. Coordinated long-range plan and agreement, CPAT from the CPAT report, $150,000. I just want to echo everything I just said about the community vision plan. This is something that I don't even think we're the leaders of something like that. I believe that rests more with Ames wanting to do some outreach, and I'm not convinced that Ames has interest in that right now. So we could create a long-range vision that includes everything in the county except Ames. What's the point of that? And so I'm going to suggest that not only there's no dollars for that this year, there are those real initial conversations with Ames of the county would be interested in participating with you guys if you wanted to lead something like this. That's my feelings. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I think I would agree with that. And also we need to include Nevada because, you know, and it's like you say, as each city continues to grow towards one another, I mean, it won't be long before it's, you know, it's the whole north side of Lincoln Way will be within somebody's city limits.
Yeah, and see, I think that's the impetus that we can use to hopefully start to bring Ames and Nevada together for a conversation like this. Because if you get those two and us involved in the conversation, then it is countywide. It's going to go at that point. But I don't think we're to the point that it's worth spending any dollars at all on something like that this year. Leanne, I'd like you to disagree with me, if you would, and tell me why I'm wrong there, because we need to have this conversation. It's an important deal. I just don't think we have enough power to make it happen.
I don't think I can disagree.
Okay.
I wish I could and just say, but I'll go back to that Lincoln Highway Corridor plan. As well intentioned as that was and carefully drafted with extensive public outreach and a steering committee that had Ames and Nevada representatives serving on and participating, when the rubber hit the road, the support was not there.
Well, not only did the rubber hit the road, but it was also the fact that over time you got a change of leadership and different people coming in with different visions and different priorities. And at the time, during that collective time, we ran into a few little stalemates in terms of actually trying to identify, is this really going to be the future growth pattern? And if we lock in to those land designations, does that prevent future expansion opportunities? And I think coming from Ames perspective, I think that's probably where more of the bottleneck came in, was the fact that we might be preventing future growth and development for expansion, whether it's industrial related or whatever. But and yet we were still trying to look at it from a historical preservation point of view at the time, and I think the effort that went into that at that point in time appeared to be right on target. I mean, from all standpoints, the end result years later showed that we spent some dollars and nothing really happened. But at that point in time, there seemed to be a pretty solid consensus that this would be a worthwhile project for the county to invest in. But yeah, so, I can go with you.
I will say this though: Story County does need a comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether it's countywide or just for unincorporated areas, but then also for the land use component, but then mental health services, building all that. So when we get questioned what we collectively as a governmental entity get questioned what our comprehensive plan is, this is it. And so I would like to see some direction given to have staff, probably us, spend the time doing that, and maybe it's yet this calendar fiscal year with what we have in our staff resources to do that. And then that will help with the discussions with Ames and Nevada too. But the CPAT report recommended this. The direction was to plug in figures. Am I tied to fighting for $150,000 for developing a plant? No, I know we can internally at least identify for you what the elements are and where the gaps are.
Okay. And that, to me, is the key, because as I look at Story County, and this is something I talked about this back in 2008, Story County has a lot of good little standalone plans. We just don't have anything that ties them all together and brings it, and we've got some holes in there. I mean, I'm not suggesting we've got a good plan for everything, but the work that Keith Morgan is doing with emergency management is helping us to solidify and consolidate those things. But I think Leanne's 100% right. It would be worth our time, especially as we go through our codification of ordinances. We're starting to pull everything together, get it into one format, see where the holes are, and then we can start to make decisions of, okay, where do we need to spend dollars to bring all this together? And so I think that's worth our time. I don't know if that's as simple as directing staff or if we need to put some dollars to that. I mean, we'd be asking you to come back to us and say, okay, here's what we can pull together now based on everything we have spread out through the county, and here's where our holes are. Now let's talk about how we fill those holes and really pull it together into one plan.
And I think we can do that at the staff level without needing
to. So that's simple as direction.
Just to the initial part, the filling in the gaps, that's when this line item would probably need the funding, because I'm not going to be able to help with the master transportation planning element if that's a gap that's identified. And
well, if we promise not to bring in another CPAT this year and not to do any government restructuring committee this year, can that be maybe one of the projects that we throw to you and say, we want this done during this year?
The CPAT report was really not that
cumbersome,
yeah. It's the GRC.
Yeah. If we promise not to do that again, can we have something like this replace that?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So I'm saying zero in that line item.
Okay,
that's the 150.
Okay. It's just closer to home.
All right. Coordinated long-range plan. Economic gardening program. To me, that's an important one, but that I pull out and I say that's the conversation we're going to have Friday on Board of Supervisors when we're talking about, are we going to go out and solicit contractual, I mean, it's contract labor. I just don't think it falls here. We can sure talk about it. Well, actually, the next couple, I think, are in that same category where I believe we need to go out and we need to get some help, but I don't believe it's a county position. I think it is. We rely on some expertise that's in the county or region to help us with that, and I think that's where this falls. Could be lost dollars. I'm viewing it right now, and again, not to skip ahead to the end of the book because it's a conversation we're going to have Friday, but I'm viewing it more as running through that Story County Economic Development Group and asking them for assistance and see what we can come up with to have. If, in my mind, it's probably a staff person either with Ames Economic Development Group, Nevada Economic Development Group, or maybe the Iowa State Extension, somebody like that who we're contracting with, and we say, these are the things that we want done in terms of reports. This is the support we want for our smaller communities, which I don't include Nevada and Ames in that, and probably put Story City and Huxley in a little different category because they have already their own economic development kind of things. But for our others, the ones that go to the Colo City Council meeting or the Zeering, you know, they're helping Zeering with some of the projects they're working on. But I view these next couple as falling in line under that, saying, okay, here's what we're paying you guys, and here's what we want produced in the next year. But with that said, I think it's important that you talk a little about economic gardening, and we'll go through each one of these one at a time.
Well, the economic gardening recommendation is it's just a – I don't know if it's a relatively new concept. It may have been more practiced on the West and East Coast, but it's just an opportunity to you can look at the micro enterprise loans as kind of an example, just more of a building from the ground up with our local startup businesses. And what it would do is just help set up a program. It wouldn't, and I don't know if it and I can have a conversation with a gentleman that headed up the CPAC group, but did they envision Story County loaning out the funds or just setting up the program? The way I took it was setting up the program and then transitioning that out to someone else, whether that be the community foundation, whatever it may be, but looking at micro-business enterprise loan kind of format for funding. Any more than that, Rick?
No, that's exactly what I need, and I am suggesting we go to zero in terms of this budget. I don't want you guys to think of that zero as a true zero because it's a conversation we're going to have Friday.
A week from Friday, you mean?
A week from, okay, I'm already ahead of myself. A week from Friday as we go through this stuff. So I would suggest scratching out the $5,000 on this budget, but not scratching it all the way out in your mind. Next one is the economic development audit of county policies and plans. I view it the same way. And talk me through it if you see that as different.
And that's as county as a more encompassing counties and cities. Looking at, like right now, for example, we have maximum parking ratio. So if a commercial business comes in, all they need to do is provide the required number of accessible parking spaces. We don't say, okay, your restaurant, you need to have three parking spaces for every 10 seats you have. So we can minimize the amount of pervious surface, and so then the amount of cost that commercial endeavor needs to put in for paving. A lot of jurisdictions, the vast majority, have minimum parking ratios. You have a 3,000 square foot restaurant, you have to have 50 parking spaces or even more. And then you see the larger parking lots, the majority of time they are vacant and unused. And it upfront costs additional funding and whatever it may be. So what the recommendation says, look across the board at all the planning documents and all the regulations in place, see what's an impediment for really enhancing economic development. Where are those costs that businesses have to bear even before they break ground, whether that be for the permitting standpoint or once they break ground for complying with all the regulations. And we can do that internally. We have a good handle. Obviously, our parking is pretty limited, but
yeah. Well, and what I'm suggesting is that if this new position or new contract was created between the county and some entity, that your staff and that entity would work hand in hand to create something like this, and it'd be a joint presentation not only to us but to the various entities in the county.
Yep.
And so if that's the case, yeah, there's dollars involved in that, but I don't think there's any dollars in your budget involved in that. So I'm suggesting we scratch the $25,000 unless you guys feel differently.
Well, no, as long as we're plugging it.
About that also with the.
It will be, as I see our conversation a week from Friday, it will be, in terms of economic development,
right.
It will be, these are the things that we want to have done. Well, we've seen some of the costs from Leanne. There's some other things that there's cost to. Let's put together this package and then send it out, request for proposal, and see if we get any interest back at all from any of these entities to provide us with that, and then see what it's going to cost us. So there are good. I'm viewing it more in lump sum dollars rather than specific. We need to know the specifics because we need to know what we're asking for as part of that RFP. And if we come back with that, then what I would suggest is that Leanne's going to have primary responsibility in helping us develop the RFP that goes out. And again, I'm not trying to spoil everything that we do next Friday, but that's the way I'm seeing this conversation going. Wayne, you okay with that? Okay.
Yeah, because it comes back to the original statement that she had made earlier on in terms of the funding aspect of it, exactly where it probably should be, and that's why I thought that while it's a good starting point for the conversation, it probably needs to come through our budget, whether it's either countywide services or it's coming through the Economic Development Initiative or tying in with lost funds or whatever. But it's we needed to have a place to have that discussion, I think, with what we think is a realistic cost assessment to begin with. So, yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Good. Industrial commercial land inventory. I view that exactly the same way. So we can be short on this conversation if you want to. I'm suggesting we scratch out the 50, but we know that that's part of the conversation that we're having as we talk this thing through a week from tomorrow.
On that, in the future, I would think it would be helpful for the board to give our staff some direction to do a full-scale review of our zoning districts and the amount of land we have available in the various zoning districts. And what's overused or underused, and I would say vast majority. For example, everything east of the city of Nevada in the drainage district, the outside city limits just past Harrington Park, is zone commercial. That's probably never going to be used unless there are substantial changes to that drainage. It has been zone commercial for years, and it sits there vacant. And do we need to have it there? Are there opportunities then to maybe promote that to different businesses from a county perspective? And that would be something that would be driven by, the analysis would be driven by our department upon direction by the board.
And as I see it, that's the starting point toward doing the full on audit.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yep.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Zoning audits. This one falls more back with you to me.
That's essentially what I just described, but then also, again, going back to the regulations, which the funds were put in there because it'd be looking at other cities, not just ours. We know what ours has, and I think ours are in pretty good shape.
Okay.
But it'd be the other communities.
Where does that rest for you for this year? With everything that we've got to do, knowing that we're not going to get it all done this year, where does that rest with you? I see it as something that we need to have on our radar to do. I'm just not convinced that I see it for doing an FY14.
I think until you have the discussions from all community-wide on the direction that Story County is going with economic development, really putting our noses into the zoning audits for communities, maybe not the wisest move to make. Even if they do want us to help out, unless there's a commitment that we're beyond just this one doing an audit, we'll be able to provide these services on an ongoing basis. I think that might, like I said, not might not be wise.
And I think that
I mean, I've had a couple of conversations that would indicate that maybe there is that desire from some of these smaller towns to be able to access, you know, the county services with planning and development, because they do struggle with a lot of that. And I mean, you and I have talked about that in the past. I mean, that was one of the reasons when you started here, is that, you know, that was the plan, that we were going to have a planner available for the small towns to access.
I think we all downstairs would like to be able to do that. I think it provides opportunities for us all to practice different elements of our profession that we don't get to do on a day in and day out basis. But I would, that would be something in the direction from the board to tell us to go meet individually with each city and say, similar to the animal control structure or patrol, sheriff's patrol, do you want some services from us? What do you want? And then once we define that, then we'd start doing the zoning audits.
Well, and that should be ultimately, I mean, it would cost us a little up front to put a program like that together, but if we were going to do it, that should be a net zero kind of deal, because the services that we provide, we should be getting reimbursed from the cities. And so, to me, that's as simple as...
That sure sounds good.
Well, I mean, it's the way it works with health. It's the way the sheriff, while he's not getting full reimbursement, there's some reimbursement there for what he does for the cities. I just think there are models there. And so the question comes down to the board of, is that something that we want to explore doing or not? I mean, do we want to just leave it the way it is?
There are several counties in Iowa that provide that planning service and floodplain management for their communities.
Important that we move in that direction. It's something we haven't done in the past, and I think it's just part of the overall philosophy that I think that we're trying to develop as far as countywide comprehensive approach to land use development, economic development, quality of life issues, all of those types of things. The county is being part of the facilitation of those types of things. So I think it's sounds good.
Can we request at this point that you put together something for a regular Board of Supervisors meeting for us to make a decision on whether we want to allocate staff time toward you guys creating a presentation that you could, first of all, we need to know what we were going to charge for what services and how it was going to look. But that's as simple as direction from us to you. I don't think this is the point for us to go through and make that decision. I think that rests more with a regular board meeting. So can we request that you do that? And I'm not talking about in the next couple weeks. I'm talking about, you know, a month or so out.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can do that.
Is that
yeah.
Work for you guys?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that one you're zeroing out. The last three you scratched out, but you didn't zero them out because they're going to economic development discussion. This one we're scratching out, and we're saying not at this time because it's dependent on so many of the other things, community vision and everything else. Okay?
Which last?
That's the $20,000 for zoning audits.
Oh, okay. Take that one out, too?
Take that one out.
Okay.
So now we're the architectural studies for small towns. I'll give you my initial impression.
I think it goes back to the other one. The other
well, it, this one to me is more of, if we're interested in doing this, an architectural study of a downtown by the county makes no sense at all to me. Makes sense to me is if Zeering decided they wanted to do an architectural study of their downtown and come up with a plan for renovating buildings, which coincidentally enough they have some interest in. So I'm not just making it up. Does the county want to put any dollars aside that we can offer in the form of some kind of grant to assist them with doing their own study? That I'm highly interested in. I'm not interested in the county taking that on in any way, shape, or form other than dollars. So then this is one to me that I'd like to plug in some dollars as a project cost. It would go to part of the total. I don't want to plug in $100,000 for this year because it would be a pilot program that we would pick an entity or two that wants to do it and move some funds toward them. And so what I'm suggesting as a starting number only is that we plug in $10,000 for this year that would go as part of this project cost, and then We see where the conversation that Ziering's having right now goes. You know that our buddy down in Collins, Brett Comegys, is always interested in stuff like this. And if there's any opportunities that intrigue us there. Leanne, thoughts on that?
I like the idea of a pilot program to look at. This is of all the many CPAT report recommendations I'm really excited about, but probably the most nervous about, just because I'm not an architect. And we would rely, if we were just to govern that program, on Iowa State University likely. And I like identifying one or two communities, see what comes out of that analysis and what strategies they can put in play then to bring their downtowns to life again. And
I think some of these towns have had this done. I mean, I know that I went to a council meeting in McCallsburg, and they had a presentation by the design class from Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State design classes are always doing this.
I know
this.
They've done it in Colo, too.
But then it's taken, like Iowa State did it for Jefferson and the Main Street project, and then Jefferson sought out funding and has really changed the looks of downtown Jefferson as a result of the downtown facade that is increasing visitor for both just day-to-day use, but as an attraction. And this is one of those types of programs that it seems you may not get the most bang for your buck, but ultimately I think you do, because small towns in Iowa they're so unique. They seem to be a dime of a dozen, but they're not. They are. Each one is unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's an opportunity for Ziering, Gilbert, whatever, to celebrate their uniqueness then, and then allow us to package it all together then, too, all of us collectively. The only question, would it stay in our budget? Would that be the pilot program managed through our department, or that would be more the economic development if that discussion continues forth, or...
I would say, for me, if this group were to approve the economic development contract with somebody, that this money would follow that. That said, if we don't approve that, I still think it's important to have some dollars plugged into this line item. So I'm suggesting that we start with it for today, sitting in your budget, and then if that economic development help comes to fruition, that maybe then it shifted into what we do there.
Rick, wouldn't this additional dollars, or if we were talking about even increasing that pot in the economic development countywide, have right now, communities that have projects, they can apply for grant dollars for funding through that.
This would be increasing
that amount,
grant dollars
that dollar.
Through the Story County Economic
right.
Development Group, but it would tie it to a specific. Right now,
right.
Those dollars that go to that Story County Economic Development Group aren't tied to specific projects.
Right.
It's
right.
Just
exactly. And this is where I can see it happening through that similar
we
type
say,
process.
If we were to do this right. through them, we would say, here's an additional $10,000.
Right. Right.
But this $10,000 will go for these specific projects.
I could be comfortable with that.
Okay. So I'm suggesting it starts out here and with the belief that ultimately, Aunt Leanne, that's not going to end up in your budget. It's going to end up somewhere else. Okay. And is $10,000 the right number? As a pilot project, is that the right number?
I think it's a good place to start.
Okay. All right, and then finally, building code feasibility study.
Let me go get my 10-foot pole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to touch this thing. Give us the sales pitch on why Story County needs a building.
Can I just replay the past 5 years?
Yeah.
This is something, actually, I had nothing to do with it being a recommendation CPAT report. I need to say that again for the record. I did not. For years, I've been bringing forward a request for funding to have a building code feasibility study completed to see what it would take to implement a building code for residential commercial uses, staffing needs, educational resource needs, and then on that other end, looking at the revenue that would to to accompany that. And as you said earlier with the planning services to communities, this would by far be a net zero program. I mean, the revenues from building codes far, far, far exceed expenditures. Internally, we don't have the staff resources to do that needs assessment. And so it fundamentally comes down to you three as the policymakers for Story County deciding whether we do want a building code for unincorporated Story County or we don't. And if we do, we need to figure out how to make that happen, and that's where the needs assessment comes in, feasibility study.
Well, I
get more people showing up at board meetings then if we kind of moved in that direction, because that'd be a lot of them want to weigh in, probably tell us we're crazy or they support it.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's obviously it would be additional regulations. And then along with that comes the enforcement. And I know that the Farm Bureau was up in arms when the state, you know, was going to exempt. And they did exempt farm buildings. And they've also turned right around and said, you're not exempt, but we're not going to inspect them. So obviously the appetite is not there. And I don't know. I mean, if you talk to the people that we would serve under, or that would have to abide by those codes and guidelines,
unincorporated areas,
the appetite is not there.
Not there.
I mean, it's just not. And you know, and unless somebody can show me that you know, we're really missing the boat, and this is something that we need, and because we don't have it, you know, we're having a large amount of fires because of faulty wiring or whatever it may be. For me, I'm not going to be too interested in spending any money on a study for building codes.
And that we're not having, which I'm so grateful for. And I think that goes to the caliber of the individuals we have in the construction industry in Story County and the workmanship and pride they take into their day-to-day activities. It goes back to me. I do believe we need a building code in Story County. And I believe it because we as government are here to ensure the general health, safety, and welfare of our general citizens. And that's a fundamental base of zoning, building codes, and floodplain management, any land development regulations. But that's because I'm a trained planner and I have, you know, drank that Kool-Aid and
you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I would encourage you to bring this back again and again and again.
I will.
But I'm going to suggest my feeling is no. Or, I mean, it's not even not at this time. My feeling is no.
Yeah,
I would have a hard time getting really enthusiastic about pushing this, knowing the climate that is out there. Again, the first thing that we're going to hear is government intrusion and why is it necessary, and it's another form of regulations and so forth. And I think we defeat the purpose of the good that would come from it just because the climate right now is not conducive to that being driven by us. Not to say it's not valuable, but...
Oh, yeah. We're not having any problems. Not to say that we couldn't have problems down the road, but we're not having any problems right now. And so increasing government regulation and government cost when there is nothing to point to and say, this is why we're doing it.
Right.
It's hard for me. So I'm suggesting that one gets struck out. Everything else I've written that we've struck out, I've written not at this time, not at this time. This one I just wrote no beside. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You keep doing it. But I think you understand where this board is. Okay. That's it for what I'm calling project. I know it's all under contract labor. And with the caveat of that $10,000 that we plugged in that ultimately probably is not going to end up there but may end up somewhere else, that's where I've got us. You want to give us a report, Lisa, on where we ended up?
Where we ended
I
up.
Show that you're leaving $2,500 in and $1,000 in and $10,000 in
yep.
for right. now.
Right.
So that means that lowers that line item to $13,500.
Right. Knowing that the $10,000 may come back out.
I also lowered office supplies to $4,400 at this point.
Right, took the $2,400 out of office supplies. We've got three more lines here, and then I want to talk some more about our to-do list because there's a couple items on there we need to talk about. But dues and membership, That one's just a continuation of what we're doing.
Right.
E911 signage, again, just a continuation. And office furniture and supplies. I mean, is that swag? Is there something you need?
No, we have three chairs that are breaking.
So you, I mean, that's stuff that you need. Okay.
Yeah.
How you guys feel about that $1,600?
I'll trade you chairs.
I don't think you want the chairs. They just fall back.
Oh, I know.
And they were not cheap chairs. We don't understand it.
You need them, you need them.
Yeah. Lisa, is there anything from IT that we need to talk about? Seems to me there was the number of licenses on Arkansas.
Use all of them. Kristen is probably one of the heavier users of ArcView in our department. She does all the surrounding property. But you have it running continually. Okay. I would venture guess she probably uses it more than I do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Was there anything else that we had coming out of IT that we... Okay. Capital improvement plan. Talk to us about your involvement in creation of a capital improvement plan for the county.
I just made you promise no more GRC reports.
GRC, this is capital improvement.
CIP. I think the board is well aware. I fundamentally believe that Story County needs to have a CIP, and it needs to be tied to goals to the future. And you'll have something on Tuesday's agenda from regarding that specifically. I think it needs to be led by our department. Yep. And that being said, I'm not asking for more help, but we are planners, and we go through classwork on how to develop a CIP, and so we have the expertise to do it. But there needs to be a cross-the-board buy-in by Story County that we are doing a capital improvements plan. But the benefit to that is predictability when it comes to budget work sessions. You know, for 5 years you're going to be planning on the phone system or the whatever. The roof is a great example that kept on being brought up during the discussions we had in the CIP. And it allows you as the decision makers then to weigh this as opposed to this and what the overall benefits are to Story County citizens.
Yeah, I think it's important that we start having this conversation now. I mean, ultimately, since it requires buy-in from us, it's going to happen at a regular Tuesday morning meeting. But to me, there are financial implications to this, even though it doesn't rest in the P&D budget. Because if we're going to have a capital improvements plan that we don't have any way to fund, no funding mechanism for it, it's meaningless. And so what I'm going to throw out there for us all to start considering is, Lisa and I have worked for a lot of time. We've got TIF established. We've got our policies and procedures established for TIF. We have said that we are never going to take any more than 50% of the available dollars for TIF, which this year, and I'm using rough numbers, but correct me if I get way off, Lisa, this year it's going to be, or for FY14, it's going to be roughly $362,000. In total TIF dollars, that's the 50%. So it's
50%.
Yeah, so 720, you know, 730 total. Our portion of that is roughly 240,000 of the total amount. So that means what we're doing, there's $116,000 in new dollars coming into the county from the unused portion of TIF, where we're not pulling from anywhere else. That's going to continue to grow over the next 4 years. And what I'm suggesting is that we designate a portion of that, and to me roughly a third is what makes sense, a third of that goes into a designated fund for capital improvements. So this for FY14, a third of the 116, you're talking about just under $40,000 that would go into this capital improvement fund, and that would grow then each year what's going in there. But it gives us something when we actually have a capital improvement plan. It gives us a way to fund whatever those top priorities are. And so I know you and I have been working on it. I don't know if you'd want to address that any further.
I've tossed it around a couple times in my head. It's basically a subfund of the general fund is what I would call it eventually. And like Rick said, it would be just a matter of these dollars get in your budgetary function set aside, designated, assigned, committed, however you want to put it, and they're not absorbed into the operating of the county.
They're going into the black hole.
Instead of going into the operational side of the county, I mean, this is growth that we can count on. It has nothing to do with increasing levy rates in order to create this fund. In fact, it's lower in levy rates. But it's an opportunity for us to designate, and I'd like it by percentage, a certain percentage of that growth, not all of it, because, you know, we want to give our staff raises every year and things like that, so we need some growth still in the general fund, but it gives us a way to carve out a certain dollar amount that's predictable every year where we can actually fund some of these things. Now, at what point does that get decided by us? Is that right at the end of the budget, Lucy?
Well, you're going to have to amend your urban renewal plan. I think you would want to reflect that, which is...
No, this has nothing to do with the TIF dollars. This is the money that's not being used.
That's not being used.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is just the county portion of those dollars
that we're not using. This is the other half that we're not tapping into. Never mind.
And just the county portion.
I get focused on TIF pretty easily.
Yeah, so this is simply... I mean, this is simply us saying we want to do it.
Right.
And making sure those dollars are carved out.
Okay, how is that different? You're saying it's the 50%, and maybe I'm just not following you 100%. We're only using 50% of the TIF revenue as the policy that is currently there. So
It just goes in like regular property tax dollars.
Right.
So certify this, just goes as it normally goes.
So this other growth, I mean, that we've designated, where is that coming from? I mean,
we have wind towers, we have increased valuation. You know,
I'm with you now.
The wind towers for the county. Wind towers are paying in roughly a new $240,000 to the county this year. We're taking 120 of that, roughly, and putting it into the TIF, which is bigger than 120, because we're also pulling that from the schools and from the townships and so that's where the 362 or whatever it is comes from. But our second 120 that's coming in is still just going into the general
general operating. All right, that's where I'm at.
This is coming in. Let's designate part of it so that we never sit for how many years did you talk about a roof on this place?
I think it's just a policy change to say any additional valuation we want to use X percentage.
If we would have adopted the TIF policy with the 50%, it would all be going.
Correct.
Right.
So if that makes sense there, and I was figuring that was something we talked about as part of the Board of Supervisors, the final budget we talk about at the end. Leanne, I wanted to tell you that we're going to have a serious conversation about this, and I've got this listed as to produce a capital improvement plan. It's really you working with the engineer, working with facilities, and working with conservation, which would kind of be the areas that things are going to come out of to produce it. Does that sound accurate? So I'd like to request that you come to us with putting together a plan for building that.
What's your time frame on that?
Let's get through the budget and see if we don't allocate any dollars to capital improvements, there's no reason in in doing the work to put together the plan. If we allocate dollars, then we need to go ahead and put together the plan. Let's see. Make sure we hit everything here. Research Park Technical Assistance was one of the recommendations that I had listed as belonging at least partially to planning and development. I view that as one of those economic development issues that if we request assistance along those lines, it would fall with that. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I agree with that.
Alternative Energy Code Audit.
We're done.
It's done.
That one's completed. That was the supplemental standards for solar wind energy, and we did the CWEX for local uses. That one, you can check that one off.
I think that's everything that we had on our to-do list as it related to planning and development. Was there anything else you can think of that we didn't address?
We just have local food and farms that are not on that list that are really different tax incentive programs that were just really struggling to decide how to put together and bring to you, but nothing that would really require the expenditures of dollars at this point, or even next fiscal year.
I'm good. Any other questions for Leanne? Lisa, anything we're missing that we need to talk about here? I don't see any reason for a callback, but if you're around a week from Friday, I'd encourage you to be here if you could, because we just may need to talk through some more things.
What time is that, do you know?
9 o'clock.
That's the 9 o'clock?
The last one.
The auditor will probably
the auditor will be 9.
And then Board of Supervisors is after that. After we do it together.
Which we'll probably be about 9:45, 9:30, 9:45.
I'll just hang around. I think I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to sit through our boring one if you don't want to. But
no, it's exciting.
We're going to be rough on you this year.
Well, Leanne, I guess, first of all, let me say how much I value the leadership that you have provided over the last year and a half as we have embarked upon expanding our outreach in the way that this board is looking at the holistic approach to improving quality of life issues in the county. And I think that it is very evident that there is a vision out there that has been put together, and the challenge for us now is to move that vision into a process by which we can begin to incorporate, you know, what it is that we firmly believe in. And I think that I think you should feel, at least from my perspective, that your leadership in this area has been very valuable and very instrumental in helping us get a grasp of as to what we could accomplish as a board as we look for future growth and development in the community. And I just really feel fortunate to say that these are some things that probably years ago we may not have had the stomach to tackle that we're now exploring, and I'm excited about that. I want to thank you for it.
Ditto. You're doing a good job.
I just want to thank all three of you for the support last year and allowing me the flexibility to come back to work as and actually directing me to not come back to work until
you didn't
until
listen
the time
very dang well.
I listened better once you sat me down and
no
had a come to Jesus meeting with me. 2013 is my lucky number. Nothing is happening.
All right, good.
Unlucky this
I
year.
I like it.